Good afternoon, and welcome back to today's show, which is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juneau. Today, we have a panel of veterans who are joining us via Zoom. We have Ms. Latarsha McQueen of the United States Coast Guard, Mr. Ben Jack from the United States Army, and Mr. Malik Favors of the United States Air Force. In the first segment, we were discussing where each one of our guests were stationed and just their early experiences in the service and just getting to know them a little bit. And so we're going to continue that conversation now. I have a question about having to be on time for everything. So I noticed that you guys, this is the first show I think that I've hosted that everybody was on time. Like, everybody. Like I logged in and like within like 10 seconds of logging in, everybody was popping up in the waiting room. And I'm like, that never happens. Would you attribute your timeliness to your time in the service?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh yes. Our one of our mottos was oh gee whiz. We had to be there at least 15 minutes early
Ooh.
or everywhere. So it was hurry up and wait.
Oh my goodness.
With the
Oh.
airport, we were there. If you're not there 15 minutes early, then you're late.
Wow.
And I think that. Go ahead.
Say that again, Malik. What was the last thing you said?
I said that I still live by that model that if I'm 15 minutes, if I'm not 15 minutes early, then I'm late. Wow.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I think the same applies in the Coast Guard. I was always late, though. And to this day, I think I just lucked out being on the call on time.
I don't think I could do it. I'm with you. I'm with you, Latarsha. I just, oh, if I'm on time, I'm so proud of myself. Like, I am just, I pat myself on the back. Even 5 minutes, I take your time. That's music to my ears. Like, I say it to people all the time, and I want people to say it to me, but they rarely do. So, I'd like to ask, everybody that's here on our call today are African Americans. And what was your experience? Well, and you all were stationed in Alaska. So coming into Alaska as a person of color, did you have any concerns about being stationed here because of your color? And if you did, was it confirmed that you should have been concerned?
I'll go first.
Okay.
When I arrived in Alaska, I flew in, and actually wasn't my first duty station. We'd have to go back and talk about that a little bit also. But Alaska was my last duty station. When I arrived in Alaska, it was in November. I remember the date, November the 17th. And it was approximately 3:30 or so, and it was just getting it actually it was dark already from what I could see. But we could still see very well. Got off the plane, 45 below zero, snow was blowing, and I swore I could hear dogs barking and all I could see was Quonset huts from the light, and I was very fearful. But as far as my expectations were concerned, it met my expectation as far as the environment was concerned. I had no real expectations as to my color or anything like that, but I did have some experiences later on. And I guess we can talk about that later on, right?
Sure, yeah, we
Okay.
can. What would you said when you got off of the plane, you were fearful at that time? What were you afraid of?
The cold weather.
The cold
It
weather,
confirmed
okay.
everything that I thought about Alaska. I don't care how much you read and study, like in high school, and we did some things in college, about Alaska, but is nothing like the experience.
Yeah, yeah. Malik, what about yourself?
Well, New York is known as the melting pot, or the Big Apple, the melting pot of the country or the world. So there were a lot of other races in New York where I grew up. However, we stayed sort of segregated in our own community and, you know, in your own groups. So I really didn't have many friends outside of the Black community. But when I joined the military and then got into it, you noticed that you had to work together. So there weren't really any problems, at least early on. But I did recognize that you could tell if there was some sort of undertone of maybe someone not accepting you, but they may not come right out and say it. But it wasn't just overt. It was kept at an undertone. And you just kind of learned how to circumvent that and still be able to succeed and also work together. But that actually played a part for me later in life to where I'm in my career now as an engineer in a company I work in. I have to travel to the Midwest often. You know, what's funny though is I don't really see the undertone as much today. I kind of see it as people spend a little bit more time and effort being the opposite, letting me know how they feel up front that, you know, I'm here and we're going to work together and get the job done, you know. So I noticed that it did teach me how to recognize if there wasn't an.
Nice. Thank you. And Latarsha?
I don't think I had any fears or negative expectations about Alaska in general. I didn't know much about it, and I'd probably been in the Coast Guard for about 5 years or so before I came to Alaska, and I had, you know, experienced pretty overt racism in the service at that time, but I never had any expectations of going to Alaska and then, you know, fearing for my life or anything like that or being treated differently. I think I have a little bit different experience. I was in Valdez, Alaska for 2 years for my first time, and then I was in Juneau for about 10 years, but I went as an active duty Coast Guardsman or Coast Guards woman. I became a reservist, and then I was also a civilian in the Coast Guard. So I got to live in a lot of different bubbles. And while I was in Juneau, I never felt any discrimination or anything as a member of the Coast Guard within the Coast Guard. As far as the community, once I left, I found out a little bit more about the place I lived and how my kids experienced it a little bit differently than I did. But going into Alaska, I had no, you know, fears or negative expectations. I was excited because it was the last frontier and it was an adventure.
Yes, yes. That's good to hear. Thank you. And Ben, you said that you did have some experiences later on in your time in the service. Can you share some of that now?
Well, if you recall, I did say that Alaska was my last duty station during my time in the military. My first duty station, I was a fire distribution crewman. I was a defender of the West Coast of America. We slept in an underground situation. And we're in the command center where we were in command of the missile sites that were used to defend the United States. As a fire distribution crewman, we had to, as I stated, sometimes sleep in our duty area. It was kind of a mixed situation because it was my first duty station. Like I mentioned, I was an excited person. I got an eye opener because I'm thinking, well, I'm here in Los Angeles, California. and things must be great here. I mean, all of the movie stars are here and blah, 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 you know. And for the most part, it was good. But in the military there, I ran into a lot of bias with my white counterparts. And not only that, off duty, we ran into a lot of, when I say we, I'm talking about we as blacks ran into a lot of situations with police officers in the Los Angeles area also. They were constantly harassing us. So we had to watch it when we were like walking from, a couple of us lived off base, walking from our apartments and you know, going, we didn't live very far from the base, but going even that half a mile walk, we would get harassed sometimes. They would stop us, ask us why we were in uniform, what were we doing, you know, that kind of thing. I was even on base one time, and I was on a hill on base, and the road was about maybe 50 yards from where I was sitting. It was in the morning. Police car rolled up. They got out and asked me to come down from the hill, and I said no. And they told me if I didn't, that they were going to come up and get me. I said, come on, because I knew they wouldn't. I was on military reservation, and they had no jurisdiction there. Mm-hmm. But those are the kind of things that I ran into. I got stopped quite frequently in my car and harassed, ticketed, even though I had not violated anything, any laws. So California was an experience that when it comes to relationship, I did not like very much. And then they closed the base down. I had to find another job. That's when I decided to go into the electronics, and that sent me to Georgia. That was an even worse experience. I had my wife with me when we went to Georgia, and we were living in an apartment complex there. And the first month that our rent was due, the proprietor came out to my apartment, banged on the door, and he had a gun.
Oh my gosh.
And I am like, oh, is this necessary? I want my rent. I want my rent now, was what he told me. And we decided to leave that place. We gave him his rent, but decided to leave that place and went to another place. Yeah. On base was not bad at all, not in Georgia. But when I finished school there, that's where I got my rank. I mentioned it a couple of times. I was promoted quite quickly. It was because I made honor graduate in two courses, and each time I was promoted. And I left there after being in the military for about 2.5 years. I left there in E5 and got to Alaska. And it was an experience because I had a black first sergeant. The NCO the NCOIC, the guy in charge where I worked at the facility, he was black. But the people I worked with were awful. I was often harassed, and the reason is because I was young, and I outranked most of them. Outranked them because I had sergeant stripes, and they were specialists, and they didn't like it. And so I was constantly harassed. I finally asked to get out of there, and they went to the CEO, asked him if I could leave that place, and he found the place for me. It was on the golf course, and I went there as a manager for the pro shop at the golf course, and that's where I spent my last year. Now, that was great. Loved it. Every bit of it. Got out. That's where I learned to golf. Had the pro there. He was a black guy. We golfed with other folks during the daytime while the attendants took care of the pro shop, and it was good. But in Alaska, I would not have thought that I would run into the kind of things that I did run into. Off base was terrible, and I was constantly harassed off base as well. Mrs. Patterson, she can probably attest to some of the things that I went through. I don't know what her experiences were. I never heard, but she was with me during that the first year or two, was it?
A couple years, yeah.
Yeah, and Alaska, I was surprised at what I found there, and didn't expect it. I could tell you that we were driving down the road, my wife, and we had two kids at that time. And guy pulled up in a pickup truck, leaned over, and just yelled. That was an experience we had as a whole family. And I, as I stated, it was not, I can't say that it was that way with everybody. For the most part, we had a great experience in Alaska, but we ran into that. And I can tell you for sure, once I got out of the military and went to the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, during the time they were building the pipeline, I was in Valdez. I got it every day. And it was mostly from people who were not from Alaska.
Okay.
What about your experience?
I didn't have such bad experiences. Like I said, they work very hard to not just outlandishly, you know, say names or do anything. But I did experience kind of like a slow transitional, maybe a slow promotion. I mean, I didn't get the ratings, you know, it's just I always got a step behind. But, you know, conversely on that, when I did leave, you know, someone convinced me, no, stay in, keep going, you're really good. I did end up leaving Alaska after being there for 3 years, and then had a little bit of a rough time in Georgia too, but not so bad. But when I left there, I ran across another gentleman, a white gentleman, who was as fair as can be, and actually looked at all my past reports for each year and said, that's not you. How did you get this? How did they give you that? So that seems to be the turning point where someone else looked back for me. You know, someone sort of mentored me, because for the first, I want to say 4 or 5, almost 6 years in, I didn't really have a mentor. And then it was so funny that the first mentor I had that actually had it out for me, or had wanted to see me succeed and wanted to help me, he was white. And he had found a way, like a loophole, to give me 2 of those yearly reports in 1 year to help wash out the ones from the past. And from there, I took off. I mean, I never looked back, and I didn't have many more bad experiences. I wouldn't say the experiences that I had wasn't necessarily bad, but they weren't helpful. But later on, I did get come across better people. Maybe the times changed a bit, because we're talking into the late 90s and into the early 2000s. So times did change a bit. And then I just got better at maybe recognizing when someone really didn't have my best interest at hand.
Okay. Malik, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us, and I'm glad that everything worked out for you. This has been such an amazing show that we've actually gone way longer than we were expecting to. So we're going to turn this into part 1 and part 2. So this is going to conclude part 1 for today. And please join us next week as we continue to have a conversation with our veterans. You definitely don't want to miss Miss Latarsha share her experience with being Black and a female in the military. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.